Blog Talk Radio.
Peace and love, family. Peace and love. Thank you for tuning in for another live edition of Twin Flame Radio. Yes, hunties. We have a good show for you tonight. It's your girl, Divine Queen, here, and I have my enlightened king, Chris. Say something good to the fam.
What's good, family? What it do? It's the guy, Chris Enlightened, here coming through, feeling like a winner today.
Feeling like a winner, huh? Well, we want to thank the fam for tuning in with us tonight. We've been off for the past couple weeks because our agendas has just been off the wall crazy. So we got a lot of stuff going on, and we wanted to kind of touch in and do a personal show for you tonight. So tonight we're going to be talking about our own spiritual journey, our experiences, what we've gone through on our spiritual journey, how it started, what happened as we were growing, and how we've elevated, you know, since we started years ago. So we always get a lot of questions about, you know, what got you started, what path did you start on, where did you go through first, and all of those things. So we just want to make sure that we touch on everything for the fam and kind of give you an idea of what our journey was like. But before we do that, we're going to do like we do on every show, and let's talk about what we want to do because we can do that because we pay for the show. So today,
right,
we picked up my dress and your suit. Yes, because we're going to Carnegie Hall weekend. Yes, fam, we doing it big. Going to Carnegie, and why?
I gotta say this kind of hood life. We gonna be.
Yeah, so our master, Dr. Mitchell Gibson, and his beautiful wife, Ashara Kathy Gibson, are going to be having a seminar at the Carnegie up in New York. This is the first time that a spiritual master has done a presentation on spirituality in almost 100 years.
100 years. 90 years to be exact. The first brother ever.
The first black man ever.
And
so
I'm
this is such an accomplishment, and we're so honored to be a part of history.
Our
story.
What? Yeah.
So we are almost ready to go.
I can't wait to tell somebody.
Can't see him.
I'm just
playing. All right, Jenny.
I'm not that type of way anyway.
Oh, you got got good at that.
Ohio.
I remember before you couldn't do that that well. I got really good at it. I'm proud of your poor gut.
Thank you.
So we've been doing a lot of stuff lately, getting ready for this big trip. We had an event that came up that we took part in where we sold some of our products, the I Am Divine product line. If you're interested in that, you can always go to my website, iamdivinequeen.com, and check out all the smell goods and things that I have there, along with the services that I offer, such as readings and consultations and books. So Chris on his website has readings and consultations and books. So we just out here doing it, fam. We just doing it. We out here embracing this spirituality and sharing it with the fam.
We're doing it, doing it, doing it well.
Facts. Anything else you want to share with the fam before we start going in on the show?
I love them.
All right, so let's go ahead and dig in. But before we get started, I want to remind the people that are on the line, if you have a question and you want to come through, you can just hit the number one, and that'll let us know you want to come through, and that's what we'll do. We'll bring you on the line. If you're listening online, you want to call in and ask a question or just say what's up, our phone number is 619-924-0835. And again, you just want to hit number one. All right, so our journey for spirituality, you know, you want to go in first on that?
Yeah, you know, I believe my journey started as soon as I came out the womb. I came out like, but my spiritual journey initially started alone when I was nine, when I had my first near-death experience. I felt different afterwards. I started to see reality a little different. I remember looking at my face because I was disfigured. And I was looking in the mirror, staring at my face, looking at my eyes. And I started feeling strange, like, am I living? Is this real? Am I living? Am I alive? Wow, this is real. It started tingling down low. And I started having visions of the future. I started seeing my wife, my daughter. I started seeing you guys.
Wow.
And I knew how you was going to look. I knew I was going to have one daughter. And I started seeing, like, beings at night and things like that, hearing things in the room at night. And after I see my first being, you know, I just got confirmation of what that being was 2 weeks ago. Well, I'll share that for another story. I knew that there was more to reality, more to reality than we've been told. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, I've been, like, a little different. You know what I mean? So that's initially where my spiritual journey first started.
You know, a lot of people, when they first start realizing that there's something else more to life than what we've always been designed to believe, is usually after they have a near-death experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually because, you know, at that point, something kicks in and your spirituality, your soul takes over. It's not about just being in this flesh anymore. It's about, you know, your soul and a journey of your soul is on.
You know, a lot of things that's really common on the spiritual path is a lot of near-death experiences. And what happens once your soul leaves this body in this physical realm and you're gone for 3 minutes, that 3 minutes may be 1,000 years of knowledge just that quick. Because time is only relative to this space and time that we're in on this earthly domain. And once you transcend outside of this domain, time has no boundaries. So in those 3 minutes that I was gone, when I came back into my body, consciously I had aged. I felt thousands of years. I started playing chess. I started being more of a thinker. I believe that after that near-death experience, I became a god. And I just didn't know it yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I always was making sound decisions. You know, I was the one that everyone was drawn to. I just felt as if my light was just off the chain, you know.
You know, it's really interesting also that you had that while you were a child, because that's when you're at your innocence. So majority of the time, the children are the ones who experience these supernatural or paranormal events because they're more open to seeing things. They haven't been, you know, brainwashed or blinded by society and media and taught how to block things out. So they're more open to receiving and seeing things. So by you having that experience and then having it as a child, that just like kind of really left you wide open.
Yeah. You know, I tell people all the time, the construct of teaching, it kind of brainwashes. We agree and accept whatever we're brainwashed with. Because as a baby, we're taken away from our parents and we're put into the system to be told what reality is.
Given a social security number.
Right. Given a social security number. And we literally unconsciously forego what we feel and what we see. And we believe what we've been told to believe. You know, and that kind of, it kind of skews your own innate view of what reality really is. You know, and it's our duty to grow spiritually and to create our own know system of what we know in this reality to be true, not what we've been told.
Yeah, because unbeknownst to a lot of people, we are here to have an experience. We are here to elevate our consciousness. We're not here to make money. We're not here to party. We're not here to sleep around. We're not here to have families. We're here to elevate our souls. You know, along the way, you may have signed up to do a couple of those things, but that's not your main purpose for this existence.
Right. You know, human beings, we're supposedly one of the highest, like, mental elevated beings on this planet, but we're the only beings on this planet that have to pay to live.
Yeah.
Every other being just experience life.
Mm-hmm.
And they just do what they want to do. They have a much more enriching, fulfilling life because they're out in nature doing what they came here to do. We weren't created to live indoors like this, disconnected from the universe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're like antennae to the universe. And when we disconnect ourselves by staying encapsulated in these nice homes, all this electricity that's blocking our natural frequencies, all those things kind of disconstruct you spiritually.
Mm-hmm. You know, for me, I didn't really have like an incident, a near-death experience or anything like that, that sparked anything within me. It was just something that was always with me. So I remember at a very early age of maybe about 3-4 years old, of just always seeing things, seeing beings, seeing energy, having a knowing of when something bad was going to happen, having a knowing that when to expect someone or when someone was going to be around. So it was always just something that was, it didn't feel foreign to me because it was something that was just always was. And it wasn't until I got a little older and I started having a couple of scary incidents that I started realizing that something else was going on, because when I would try to point it out to other family members, they didn't see it or they didn't hear it or they didn't know what I was talking about. And I was, you know, screaming in fear and they didn't know what was wrong with me. But I always had a way of just kind of just, you know, seeing things. I always thought that when I was younger that I just had a very vivid imagination. But what I realized was that I was actually tapping in and I was, you know, going into like another realm and doing things outside of this current existence, you know, and it wasn't until my adult life that I fully understood what it was. 'Cause it was one of those things where I kind of just, you know, I never knew anyone else who did it or who even spoke about it. So I didn't speak about it because I didn't want to seem crazy. Thank goodness for social media, because with social media, it opened up that gateway of people expressing themselves and sharing the things that were going on in your lives. And it made you go like, wow, okay, so you had that kind of experience too? I did too. You know, same thing with your NDE, you know, when you were floating over your body, you probably never spoke to anyone about that because, you know, that was just
Yeah, I don't want to think I'm crazy.
Exactly.
I don't want to go Longview. It's a crazy home called Longview. You crazy. You going to Longview. But I ain't tell nobody about that. I feel crazy. Like, am I crazy?
Yeah.
Are you crazy? Because, like most people, I've always had like alternate realities going on too.
Mm-hmm.
I can be talking to someone and they're like, yeah, Chris, how you doing today? I'm like, what if I just picked what this people? I wonder how they feel.
Mm.
You know, I always had like another outside reality going on. It was so dark because my environment in which I grew up in was encompassed with darkness. So I was a product of my reality, of my environment.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did to counteract that was I felt as if I had to always be the good guy, the nice guy.
Mm.
I wanted people to remember how they felt around me, not what I was saying, but I wanted them to remember that, man, whenever I'm around Chris, he's a good dude. You know, what I realize now that I'm older is that we all have a spiritual experience that we can't explain as children.
Mm-hmm.
That when we grow and grow spiritually, we can go back in that and recant that memory and be like, okay, I remember that happening.
Mm-hmm.
But while we are young and you're brainwashed and programmed to believe a certain way, your ego is going to literally fight for the level of understanding. And you really can't really explain it to anyone because you're in fear.
You know, that's interesting because the way you describe your incidents as a child, you had like this kind of string theory kind of reality going on where, you know, you wondered if you did something, what would be action, and you saw that action play out, but you were in a different reality playing it out in a different way. For me, mine was like a multi-universe type of thing because I was in this reality, but I could project myself into a whole different reality and play that scenario out.
Mm. You know what? Well, that's why I say you'd be great at playing chess because chess has a way of developing your what ifs.
Mm.
And what the thing about those what ifs or what could be, it develops a certain way of knowing. You can kind of predict things like if I do this, if I do that, if I do that, you can set people up. And I was great at setting people up without them knowing I was doing it. I would say certain things. If I felt danger coming, I would make people laugh because I knew that would make them forget about me.
Mm-hmm.
I can just misdirect negative energy that was coming my way to other people I didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I was really skilled at making people laugh at other people.
Mm-hmm.
I've always had a way. It was so bad that I was getting kicked off buses as a kid.
I remember.
I just knew what to say to make me mad enough not to hate me, but mad enough where everyone else would find it funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or you would even find it funny.
Oh, yeah, I always laugh. Like, yeah,
I mean, the person you were capital of, they would laugh.
Right.
Like,
my daddy got one over you, right? Talk about my mama, though. We got some problems. I never played that, though.
So, you know, we had these experiences as children. You know, we've seen things, we did things, we played out scenarios, we had projections, astral travel, all of these things. And like you said, these things happen so that we could, you know, in our adulthood, go back and put the pieces together to figure out that, you know, this is more than just a human experience. So like most people, when we have these experiences, once you reach kind of a, you know, your teenage years or pre-teen area, you kind of put all those scenarios out of your head because you're at the point where you're developing an adult mind. You are preparing, you're being prepared to be an adult. So those things that you once experienced are no more. You kind of just forget about them or you just don't talk about them anymore.
Right.
And so now here in adulthood, you know, well, yeah, I guess we were adults. When we first met, we were teenagers. But when we met, you were the first person that ever opened up to about just feeling different.
Yeah.
And, you know, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
I remember we were sitting in the car after, you know, going out to the movies or whatever we used to do. And it was, it was a dark night. I think we were looking up at the sky, looking at the stars and stuff.
Cadillac to me.
Yeah. And I remember asking you, like, I said, this is going to sound strange, but do you ever get the feeling that you're not like everyone else? Like, you're just not considered normal, or there's something more to you than what you believe?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember you looked at me and your little bitty eyes got so wide.
little
bitty eyes. It got really wide. And you was like, yes, I do feel like that. And
I feel like an alien out here.
Yeah. And we had this long conversation about how we've always felt different. Even as children, we felt different, but we just kind of played along with everyone else. And there have been times where I kind of hinted to it to, you know, a couple other friends or whatever, but they just didn't catch on, and I didn't want to go there because I knew that they weren't ready to take in what I had to share with them. And so I remember, like, over time sharing a couple things with you about different experiences I had and stuff like that. But even then, I still didn't tell you everything because it was still like, you know, is this something that you really want to talk about? Is it something that you want to share with people? You know, you don't know how people are going to take it.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that it was probably after we had our daughter that we started realizing that what we had always known was a lie.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say so.
We were at that point in our lives where, you know, we had brought another life into this world. And so when you become a parent, you want the best for your child.
Mm-hmm.
And that means securing, you know, their world,
mm-hmm.
making their world safe, making sure that they have everything that they need to blossom in this world. And with that, you do that through a connection through spirituality or religion or
mm-hmm.
just a connection with the gods or universe or whatnot. And it was at this time that we were searching for this connection that we just weren't feeling this connection that we were supposed to feel that everyone else had felt.
Right. I remember realizing, like, wow, here I am, 19. I have my girlfriend pregnant. I have no money in my bank account. I'm hungry right now. And I was like, you know what? I might not have a lot of money, but I want to make sure my daughter's consciousness is wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember before she could even really talk clear, I was always talking to her. Any questions, she was like, what if daddy, what if daddy? She was, what if daddy me for 3 years straight? And I never was like, oh my God, no more what ifs. I would answer every question.
Mm-hmm.
And to the point where she didn't really have any questions somewhere. I was just talking out, just talking to her.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's really at a spiritual event right now,
mm-hmm.
because she's just been filled. And that's, she's been filled with me and you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing that I won't say a lot of parents forget, but they focus too much on money and being successful,
mm-hmm.
versus really, you know, cultivating your spirituality,
mm-hmm.
because that's all that really matters. Everything is consciousness, and consciousness is everything. Before anything is created, it, an atom of creativity is formed in your mind first. And if you can cultivate that mind correctly, you can have whatever it is you want in this reality,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah. I remember when, after our daughter was born, we tried to, because I grew up religious. I grew up in a religious family where my grandmother made me go to church with her every Sunday and sometimes even during the week. And everyone in my family was religious. Everyone in my family could recite Bible verses. You know, they grew up in churches. They grew up in strict households, religious households. We had to recite prayers, you know, at dinner table.
Mm.
You know, it was that kind of lifestyle. And you kind of grew up where you didn't have to go to church, but you still grew up with strong religious views.
Yeah, I grew up with Bobby Jones gospel.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up with Randy Watson.
I don't know who that is.
You know who Randy Watson is?
Nah.
Coming to America?
Oh, yeah.
But my father and father both were Catholics growing up. They went to private school, Catholic school. So I got secondhand Jesus knowledge from them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think my mom knew something deep within her that was like, I don't want my son to believe in this. So she just let me cultivate my own thinking. You know, she knew when I was little that I was different, though. She couldn't really put her hand on it. I think she thought I was soft. But because I'm just such a loving God, you know, but she had no idea how violent I really was mentally, because I didn't want to show that side to her. I don't want her to think I was crazy. But I do have a father, and he's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, so I love him. You know, he's best to be a father. But I think I got a great balance, because my mom was old. She's really loving. Then my father, he was crazy.
Yeah.
But I love him. I told him.
Yeah.
I want to be crazy.
You got your wish.
You heard it.
Yeah, I love crazy. What can I say? So I remember after Devin was born, we tried to reintroduce religion into our lives. And it just was not sitting right. And it got to the point where we were like trying to force it.
Yeah, we were.
And we, you know, with anything, you try to force anything, it's really become, you know, obvious that it's not for you.
Right.
And I recall one time, I knew when I was done. I remember my mom had bought me this big, beautiful Bible. She was so happy that I wanted to, you know, get back to the Bible and religion and everything like that. And she bought me this really beautiful Bible. And I remember I was like, I'm going to read this Bible. I'm going to read it from front to the end. I'm going to, you know, finally get an understanding of what everything is, because I had a lot of questions that no one could answer for me.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Where they say one thing. Contradictions. There's a lot of contradictions.
Yeah.
And so I just didn't really have a full understanding. And I remember she was like, well, I'm going to buy you a Bible, you know, and then you'll get it. And I was sitting in the room by myself in the bedroom, and I was reading the Bible. And one day I remember I was reading it, and you were at work.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I heard you come in, shut the door, put your keys down, and yell out, "Hey, babe." And I yelled back, "I'm in here." But then I never heard you again. So I went out to the living room and you weren't there.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I called you and you were still at work. And I was like, that was crazy. Okay. So I put the Bible down and, you know, I was like, all right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my religious mind was like, that's the devil trying to stop
mm-hmm.
me from reading the Bible. It's the devil, you know. And every time I would try to read the Bible, something would happen that would just kind of throw me off. And it was never anything really scary. It was just something that kept trying to draw my attention away. But the last thing that happened, which was a little scary, and that was just it for me. I was sitting in the bedroom again by myself, and I had this empty cherry Coke bottle sitting on top of my nightstand.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm reading, and out of the blue, this bottle just starts spinning by itself. And there was no air. There was no one else in the room. It just started spinning by itself, and then it fell over. And I slammed the book, packed it up, put it away, and was like, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not reading this anymore. You know,
mm-hmm.
why is it that if I'm trying to read something and have a connection with the Creator, that the devil or Satan or whatever is strong enough to interrupt me?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like, if I'm of the Creator, then that connection should have been stronger than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I took it as is that maybe what I've been told all my life is not so. And maybe what was strong enough to break my connection was something that wasn't something that I was supposed to fear, but something that I've always been told to fear. Because with fear comes control.
Mm-hmm. I remember it was a Thursday night. It was raining, and I was choking on some Jesus juice. I was done. That's my story.
No, I remember your story. You were trying to have a connection, and you were trying to have a connection, And it just wasn't adding up for you. You were going through all these different, you know, religious groups, and you couldn't get your, you couldn't get fed.
Yeah, that's what it was.
And you finally gave up.
Yeah, I couldn't get fed. But one thing I want everyone listening, and even now in the future, to realize, there's no limit to how far you can go. If you feel as though you're in a box, you're not learning, you're not growing spiritually, try something new.
Mm-hmm.
That's how miracles happen. When you try something new.
And, you know, and I'm not knocking religion. I don't think that there's anything wrong with religion. I think that religion is meant for certain people.
Yeah.
Just not for me.
Whatever you believe to be true is true for you.
Mm-hmm.
There's no right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You can make, you can get wins out of anything you believe in if you believe in it strong enough. You know? I believe in Jesus because other people believe in him. Do I rock with him? No. But that's just me. You know what I mean? You know what? I'm going to divulge a little bit about the bean because I spoke with my spiritual master. He told me what the bean was. And I told him I was asleep. After my near-death experience, about 2 weeks later, I was in bed and I felt this tug on my arm. And when I looked up, there was this red bean in front of me. He was about 3 or 4 feet tall and he had these big yellow eyes. And when I locked eyes with this bean, he started pulling harder. And my auntie slept with a Bible under her belt at the time, under her
pillow.
And Bible belt. But after I touched her, the bean was gone. And it scared me so much. It was so impactful that I was in my late 20s before I could sleep with any of my limbs hanging over the bed. I would wake up jumping and put my leg and my arm back in the bed. And I spoke to my spiritual master about it. And he was telling me that that was a djinn. There was a red djinn, a yellow-eyed red djinn. And what they try to do is take your soul, and they enslave your soul. They take you to different realms, and they enslave you. And he told me to get some nails and drink some nail water.
Mm-hmm.
And that would take the energy of the djinn away from me and out of my consciousness.
There's something about the iron.
The metallic and iron in the water that draws them out of you.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always... You should always find a good master.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what it is that you're doing, whether it's martial arts, engineering, someone you can learn from that has an overview of whatever reality you're believing in. And my spiritual master has expanded my consciousness so much that it just feels like I have a second life within my life.
Mm-hmm.
Because before, my life was kind of sheltered. I was believing how everyone else believed.
Mm-hmm.
But now I've done spiritual things that really can't be fathomed by most people. We both became solar adepts,
mm-hmm.
where we connected with the sun, and we've been able to get the sun to respond to us, me, you, and our daughter.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't know that there's a higher aspect of yourself that resides in the sun, and it watches you for lifetime after lifetime, waiting for you to recognize it. And once it recognizes you, the sun will start blinking at you.
Mm-hmm.
You want to go in on that, babe?
Well, before we go in on that, let's lead up to that. So,
okay.
You know, religion didn't work for us. We started learning more about our history.
Mm.
So the next thing, and this is common for a lot of people on a spiritual journey, is that they get on the spiritual journey because they're not being fed with the religion that they've always had in your lives, and so they next start wanting to go into their history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people start learning about Africa, people start learning about India, people start learning about Asia and Europe and all these other different areas, and learning what their beliefs were and how mm-hmm. they functioned back in the day. And then it opens up this whole new world for you.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, so this is what the ancients were doing. This is how they were surviving. This is how they believed. This is how they were living. And what happened?
Mm-hmm.
So you go through this, you know, teaching stage. For us, YouTube was our first teacher, I would say.
You know, our first teacher was all those slave narratives I was reading back when I was working at Convergence. I was getting paid to do nothing. And the internet was new, and I found this site where they had a bunch of
old slave narratives.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about their life and their culture back in Africa and what they had learned from their grandparents. And this was the latter period, the ending period of slavery. So it wasn't as if there was like civil reads or anything that they had the ability to read. And that I was amazed at how eloquently they were writing, how descriptive they were of their stories. And I was really experiencing life vicariously through their words. And I realized, wait a minute, slavery wasn't like we've been told.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a much gruesome story. And it enraged me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, why does people hate us so much? So I had to go back before any religion or any of that stuff was started. And then I realized that before there was any defined religion, that was just a way of life, and the way of life was spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
And from there is when it began for me.
Yeah. I remember we were like YouTube junkies after that, though. We were like just searching for, you know, different teachers. We were, you know, watching different videos. We were all into the metaphysics. We were all into expanding your consciousness, your pineal, your third eye activation. And, you know, and that's when we felt like something just felt natural. It felt right. It felt like, okay, this is what, you know, this is what we've been searching for our lives. You know, this is other people who are having the same experiences we are having, and they've done the work. They've done, you know, they've researched, they've traveled, they've done these things too, and they were sharing it with the world. And thank goodness for that, because if not for these people that were sharing, you know, we would still be in, you know, in the dark ages.
You know, there's one thing about going to school for 12 years and you're going to college, and you get speckled information that's appealing to you.
Mm-hmm.
But there's one thing that when you're getting a plethora, a tidal wave of information, and it's all appealing to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I was, okay, this is my first school. And I was learning things, reading things. I would hear a book, go and read the book, find out more jewels, find jewels in the book, research that. And it was like I was a sponge, a dry sponge, soaking up all this truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized, like, wait a minute. He who controls the printing press controls the age.
Mm-hmm.
So I got away from reading all these books that people said was true.
Right.
And I started focusing on what I felt was true. And I was going with my own intuition, finding spiritual masters that I could listen to. And once I came across John Henry Clark, my life changed.
You know, I always say that, you know, people always ask, like, well, how long have you been spiritual? And I really don't have an accurate answer for that, because for me, I felt like we were spiritual for a long time. We just didn't know what spirituality was.
Mm-hmm.
We were becoming enlightened, but we didn't know what enlightenment was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were discovering our higher selves. We didn't know we had a higher self.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's kind of hard to say, oh, I've been spiritual for 20 years. I've been spiritual for, you know,
2 weeks.
Because there's no, like, set time. There's just a time where you come into a knowing and an understanding of yourself. And John Henry Clark, his name just escaped.
Dr. Ben.
There were so many people.
Phil Valentine,
wow. But there were so many people that it opened us up to this whole new... When we found these teachers, it was as if the spirit, the universe, opened us up to find physical people within our everyday lives. Because when we were watching people on YouTube and stuff like that, everyone else that was around us in our waking lives were still doing the same old things.
Mm-hmm.
And we felt ourselves changing and not being interested in the same things, not being interested in the same people. We were becoming more secluse, you know, and we didn't, you know, really want to do the same things or even be around people anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But it was weird because we would find these different events. The universe would open up doors for us to meet other people.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, how did that, you know, you can't really explain how it happened because it was spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like when you start awakening, when you start, you know, elevating, the spirit will align different people to come into your path to help you along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Because unfortunately, this is something where you do need, like you said, a teacher, a master,
yeah,
a community. You need a family. You need people that you can relate to on this journey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember you said something a long time ago about if you watch a YouTube video on how to do martial arts, you may be okay, but you'll never be as good as if you had a master teaching you in person.
Mm-hmm. Because when you're looking at things on a flat plane, it's one-dimensional. But when you're experiencing something from a higher perspective, multi-dimensional teacher showing you things, there's other things that you learn within the art. Like I'm a Wing Chun master. I teach people Wing Chun and Salat. And I can show you a video, but until you feel the energy of it, it's completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Like I always teach people, I have them watch me do the moves, and I let them do the move for like 5 minutes. And then I hit them with a stick or whatever so they can feel the energy I project within the blow. And then when they do it again, they understand how to project their energy by moving the stick in their hands. So that's like with anything, you know, a seasoned master can help you fine tune you so you'll be doing things right. That's one thing about spirituality. There's no right or wrong, but when you got someone that's been doing it for a long time and they have proven results, they can usher you in a lot quicker than it's taking you 10 years to learn it.
Yeah.
It'll take you a month to get it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've done all the work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is what you should be doing. Try this. Try like this. And you'll see that it works for you. And it can fast track you to your own growth.
You know, I remember when we met S.I.L.E. Myers, and he was the first person that we met that was like just on a higher level than anyone else we had ever met physically as far as spirituality. And he was able to help us and guide us in a lot of ways and, you know, help us to, you know,
gain that spiritual confidence.
Yeah.
There's too many weak-minded spirituality people.
Mm-hmm.
People need to realize that as passive and peace, love, and light, you got to be the balance, the polarity of that. You have to be just as strong. You know what I mean? I had to learn to say no. I had to learn to, you know, tell people no.
You know, and it's funny because when we got on this path, as similar as we are, the twin flames that we are, we ended up taking our flame split. You know, we always say we're one, but we split into two that was still connected. You went into this kind of self-discovery of learning to be like your own master in a way, I guess I could say. Whereas with me, when I came into spirituality, it reminded me of all those things as a kid. It reminded me of the things that I used to see and the things that I used to do and, you know, and all that. And I was like, you know, and speaking with other people and realizing they had the same things, and it drew me back into that. And so for me, I started out strong with crystals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could name every crystal at one time. I could tell you what it did, what color it was, where it came from, how you could use it, and, you know, all kind of stuff. And from there, I was like, okay, now I know that, now what? And then I went on to herbs, and then I went on to divination tools, and then I went on to meditation and learning about the chakras and, you know, and then into magic. And so it's just, spirituality is one of those things where there's so much to learn. There's so much to learn about spirituality itself, and there's so much to learn about the spirituality within you that it's just an ongoing journey.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I call it a spiritual journey, because it's like a never-ending traveling to some unknown destination.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like you was more into divination, magic, and herbs. I was more into self-discovery.
Mm-hmm.
I became a great public speaker. I became a counselor.
became like this energy reservoir of love, and I became more passionate. I started caring about animals.
You started caring about animals.
You know,
that Who would
have like, known? You know, I don't want to talk about how it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but self-discovery, what I realized was once I mastered my body, it helped me master my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And that alone, I mean, I started learning mantras. I was big on mantras. And just what mantras does, well, I mean, you know, you can go all day on that. It could be a whole show in itself.
And from there, it was like once we had got to the point where we were comfortable, where we felt like we had mastered different things, we were then introduced into Dr. Mitchell Gibson, who is currently our spiritual master and who is someone that has just awakened us in ways that you can't even put into words. And he is someone that he is a true master. He is someone that, you know, it's weird because when you think about a spiritual master or a spiritual leader, you always think of someone outside of the United States. You always think of someone outside of our normal United States type of religion, outside of Christianity or something. And this man is, you know, has a strong reputation.
Yeah.
You know, he loves his wife, loves his children, and he loves us, you know, and so he's made it his, you know, purpose to help elevate us as far as we can while he's here.
His main goal is to expand your consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about how he handles us in our dreams?
So after we learned about Dr. Mitchell Gibson, the craziest things started happening.
Mm-hmm.
He visited us in our dreams, and he was speaking to us in our dreams. He, you know, told us who he was, and he knew who we were, and we were going to be his followers. And
in class. We were in our dreams.
Yeah. And we later, after we were introduced to him and met him, you know, explained these things to him, and he confirmed it.
Yeah, I was teaching you this. I'm glad you remembered.
You know, so, but the thing that really took us to the next level, because, you know, you could still kind of, you know, it's, you know,
the ego
will convince you that, you will keep you as a skeptic.
Yeah.
You know, it'll help you, like you said, fight for that limit of understanding. But he challenged us to do something that, you know, when he put it out there, I was like, what? No way. No, that can't be done. No. And he said that there were many of us who were divine conscious souls and that we had a connection with the sun and that we were able to make the sun blink. And me and Chris just looked at each other and was like,
What?
Well,
I ain't trying to go blind now.
Right. And so then some of his followers started producing videos of the sun blinking.
Turned orange, red, and I'm talking about blinking, bang, in broad daylight.
Broad daylight. No tricks.
People crying.
You know? And so I remember at first thinking, wow, that's beautiful, but there's no way that I can do that. There's no way I can do that. And after just constantly listening to him and through growing through spirituality and advancing and elevating, you start to put ego to the backside and you start believing in yourself and you start knowing the God or the goddess within you. And so then you start realizing, I am a God, and I can do whatever I want to do.
Yeah.
And so we did it. We attempted to do it, and it was something that will forever be something that changed our lives. It was just one of the most meaningful things that have ever happened to us.
The human mind can only do so much. you have to align yourself with a higher divine force in order to do things of grandeur. And a lot of the master's tools, not to mention Gibson's tools, they affect your subconscious mind. You consciously won't even be aware of your growth. You'll just start saying things, creating things. I'm an author. I got a website. I got YouTube videos. I mean, that's stuff I never even conceived. And it's just in me because my consciousness has expanded through the use of its tools.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of his tools has his essence in it. And just having some of his tablets and medallions in your house will just, it'll permeate through everyone in your home.
Mm-hmm.
People come over and they feel the energy, like, whoa, it feels strong in here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing about Master that I love. He creates these tools. He gets them from the ether. He's able to traverse the universe, come back, and recreate what he sees. And it has the same power. And people are turning to light.
Mm-hmm.
We've done it.
Mm-hmm.
People making a sun blade, making flames turn out, beings coming out of flames, hands turning to light. People are taking pictures of gods. I mean, when we go to these seminars, my camera works fine everywhere else in the world. But when I go to these seminars, people that are working on the body of lights, they're phasing in and out, the master's face turning into beings. And it's not just one or two people, it's multiple people.
Mm-hmm.
It's us too. Mm-hmm. And it's just like when you're around a fleet of gods like that, you just feel so good. It cannot be explained.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that you have to physically experience. It's like a spiritual rush when you're in a room with all like-minded spiritual beings with all this power.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous.
That is.
Ridiculous.
And so through our journey of spirituality, we've, you know, done things where we've worked with the sun, we've worked with different gods. We use various different forms of magic. We have our altars. We tend to our ancestors. We've been able to develop our spiritual gifts to a new level of, you know, reality.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that you see in movies, and it's like, you know, oh, that was a good movie, but you know, we watch the movies and it's like, oh, look, you did that thing.
Yeah, yeah.
We know about that.
People like to touch me now. Don't touch me. I don't mind. I enjoy when people feel my energy.
I don't like being touched.
You don't like being touched, but I don't mind.
It depends on who's touching me. I'm really
mindful of your energy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm different, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got so much energy that I can share.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, you know, they're real cautious about that. You know, I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm such a strong being that I got enough for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel drained. Yeah, I might drain you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know, you got to find your power. Know what lane you're in.
And that's another thing about your journey on spirituality is that you will begin to grow in such ways that you are going to develop into this new person. You are going to start having these different experiences. You're going to start having these different vibrations. You're going to start seeing things differently. You're going to start having things come to you, you know, in dreams and waking states. You are going to be more open to receiving things because you're going to be open to recognizing the gifts that are there. You'll realize what's a blessing and what's a warning. You'll realize, you know, how far you're progressing. I mean, it's just, it's such an amazing journey. There's nothing that I can compare it to because I haven't experienced anything that's been greater than this.
Your level of awareness and your depth perception of reality is enhanced.
Mm-hmm.
It's as if you have an overview of everything. Things that once angered you, you'd laugh at.
Mm-hmm.
You watch a movie that you've seen 1,000 times and say, like, oh, I've never seen that part. Oh, my goodness.
And, you know, that's another interesting thing is that, you know, when you are awakened, you are truly awakened because you see things differently.
Yeah.
You've gone your whole life seeing something a certain way, and never noticed anything different about it. You accepted it for what it was. But once you, you know, get on the spiritual journey and you elevate, that same thing that you witnessed, you mm-hmm. see it in a whole different way. You see it for what it really is, and it just blows you away.
Your spiritual periphery is expanding. You can walk down the street that you've walked down your whole life, and once you grow spiritually, you'll start seeing different things, different buildings, different signs that you didn't understand what they were.
Mm-hmm.
It's as if you're living in a whole new world.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize that these movie producers, they know what's going on, because
mm-hmm.
there's no way they can just mistakenly come up with all these jewels hidden in plain sight like that.
Right.
So they make movies for the mundane-minded. They have all the bells and whistles, but then they have something for the higher-minded as well. It's kind of like that movie They Live. We're walking around with shades on, seeing
mm-hmm.
things how they really are,
mm-hmm.
versus the perception that they want you to believe in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why working with us is so important, family. If you haven't had a reading from Divine Queen, if you haven't had your numerology reading by me, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? And it's not that you're doing it for us. When you invest in your own spirituality, you're showing the gods that you're serious. A lot of people want to just freebie their way to the top, and it doesn't work like that.
All right.
When
mm-hmm.
you freebie, you get a freebie result.
Exactly.
You get a freebie
mm-hmm.
result. But when you invest in your own spirituality, you grow exponentially, family.
It's kind of like when you need a car. And you go, okay, so I have $5,000. With this $5,000, I could buy me an okay car that'll probably run for a couple years and I won't have any car payments. May have to put some work into it every once in a while, you know, well. Or with this $5,000, I can make this a down payment on a very nice car. And yeah, I'll have to invest in it and make money, make monthly payments on it, but I'll never have to worry about it breaking down on me. I'll never have to worry about it failing me. I'll never have to put work into it because it'll already be what it's supposed to be. And so, you know, you want to look at that as your spirituality. Do you want to invest in something where it's going to break down on you after a while? Or do you want to, you know, invest in something that's going to be worth the journey?
Mm-hmm. It's as simple as that. You don't want to have poverty consciousness. Once you accept your role in this reality, the universe will look out for you. You didn't come here to fail. You came here to win. I want to tell everyone out here who's working a job, you were not put here to work that job. That's not what you're here to do. That's why you hate that job. That's why you hate that job. Because it's not what you want to do. There's going to come a time when your kids move out where you need to try something different and just give it a shot. That's how miracles happen. Save your money. Make it so that you can not work for a full year. And in that year, really go hard body or whatever it is that you want to do. Put your love and spirit in it. Put your light in it. And try to create something that's going to be the betterment of mankind. And when you do that, the universe will take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about knowing. 90% of spirituality is the unknown. You're not going to know. But just know it's going to work out. Unlike when you walk and you see where you're stepping, when you're walking with the spirit, you don't know where you're walking. You're walking with eyes closed in the dark. And you're winning. That's how it goes.
You know, it's because we've been brainwashed into always having answers. We are a humanity that believes that there has to be an answer and it has to be written in a book and we have to see it and we have to have facts and we have to, you know. And no, that's not how it works. We are spiritual beings, not human beings.
Mm-hmm.
We're spiritual beings. And so with spirituality, there is no, you know, there is no book. There are no words. There is no, you know, answer. It's just a knowing. It's a feeling because, you know, we're not human beings. We're spiritual. And so you feel things on a spiritual level. Things are all about energy, not about the physical, you know, holding of a book and knowing something.
I want to tell the family something deep.
Uh-oh.
I met this psychic about 5 years ago by the name of Tom Stone.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go to him, he sells crystals, but you don't pick your crystals. You come to him, he'll say, hey, how you doing? you're looking for this. He was like, you're trying to grow spiritually and meet the angels. I was like, yeah. So he gave me some crystals and things like that to help me connect with my divine self. And he was like, you want to know one of your spirit guides? I was like, yeah. He was like, eyes rolled back in the back of his head. He was like, you have seven spiritual guides. And your main spiritual guide is named Jill. Whenever you want to get your ancestors and your family that's transcended together, just ask Jill. She'll do it for you. And I was like, cool. Fast forward 5 years later, I'm talking to my little brother. And he was telling me, you know, that he had another sister before he was born. And I had no idea my father had another child. And he told me that she died in crib. You know, crib, that sudden, and what it called, it is. And Nikki was like, oh, my God. Well, ask her name. And I was like, what was her name? Was her name Jill? And he was like, yeah, her name was Jill. I almost cried. Mm-hmm. So my little sister that I've never met, never got the chance to meet, is my spirit guide. And I know she's there, and she's always looking after me. You know what I mean? So we all have someone that we love, that we know or don't know, that's always with you, looking out for you. So no matter where you're doing, what's happening to you, when you know that they're looking out for your best interests, everything's going to be all right. I know it sounds cliche, but it's real, family.
Mm-hmm. That is real.
When?
That was a good story.
It's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the truth. Truth.
Oh, man. So, yeah, family, when you're on this spiritual journey, I think one of the biggest misconceptions is that it's a lonely journey, and that's so not true. There are so many other people out there who are having the same experience. Some people are having it on different levels. You know, some people are going through a self-discovery. Some people are going through a spiritual discovery. Some people are just going through it. You know, but either way, there's always someone out there for you to connect with. There's always someone out there for you to learn from. There's always someone out there with you that you can build with. And so all you have to do is just look.
You know, the universal law of vibration is simply put like this. Whatever frequency you're vibrating on, you're going to attract those that are vibrating on your frequency.
Facts.
So when you start growing spiritually, you're going to lose family members. You're going to lose that 20-year-old friend that's always dumping the negativity on you. You choose to listen to it. They're going to feel compelled to no longer be around you. And what you're going to do is open up your plate and free your plate up to embrace new spiritual friends that are on the same vibration that you're on. And they're going to feel closer than your closest friend. They're going to feel like a family member. And you're going to have this weird feeling of, man, you seem so familiar from what I've been knowing you for years. And you're going to love them more than you loved any other stranger you've never met. And it's going to be that real. They won't do you wrong. They won't stab you in the back. And whenever you're around them, instead of feeling drained, you're going to feel invigorated. And that's the real jewel of spirituality. The vibration that you're on, increasing your vibration. The higher your vibration, the more love energy, the more joy energy you have. Your signature to the universe changes. Your color changes. Mm-hmm. Just imagine higher beings hovering over the planet, and they're seeing all these dark colored humans. And then there's these speckles of light. So when you call upon them, they're going to see you and work with you. It's just that simple, family. It's just that simple.
And you know, that brings up a good point, because you never see spiritual people losing.
No.
You never see spiritual people mad.
No.
You never see spiritual people just going through it. Now, it's not to say that things don't happen, because, you know, no matter who you are, you may have signed up to experience something. That's just, you know, a fact. But overall, you never see spiritual people losing.
I know spiritual people that don't have jobs and they win.
Right.
Like, what do they do? I don't know what they do, but they always win. That's how it be.
It does.
You won't know how good it feels until you give it a shot yourself. Mm-hmm. And I understand that. Why do you think rich folks are rich? You think they got rich by working? They don't get rich by working. They get rich by doing what they love to do. The folks that do get rich by working hard, they go crazy. Because they feel though they gotta keep working hard to get this money.
Mm-hmm.
And you should not have to work hard to make money. You need to tap into the frequency of wealth, and it's gonna come to you easy. That's the book that I'm writing, Wealth Consciousness. And I'm done writing, I'm just editing it now. And it's like the gods wrote for me. It's weird like that. You're going to start doing things and you're not going to even, you're going to read like, man, I wrote this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, this is tight.
That's
right there, family.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that you're going to learn is your creativity is going to be unbeknownst to you. You're going to be
true.
Doing things and creating things that you never dreamed you'd create. My wife's in here, girl. Go ahead, tell them. Tell them.
Yeah, so I have always had this, you know, creative bug in me. And it started out with me wanting to cook. It started out with me wanting to design. But what I found was the thing that I was best at and the thing that brought me the most joy was making, you know, products, making soaps, making lotions, making oils, things of that nature. And it has sparked something in me that I never knew that was there. And, you know, and to me, I feel like I'm not really doing a whole lot of work. It doesn't even seem like it's hard work or that it's hard. It's, you know, anything that's stressful or anything like that. But the feedback that I get back is that, you know, the products are so good. They smell really good. They make you feel a certain way. And, you know, the only thing I do is just put my divine essence on it. I say my prayers over everything. I put my divine energy into everything that I do. And I know that that's, you know, all spiritual. It's all because of who I am. Because had I tried to do this, you know, 15 years ago, it wouldn't get the same result.
It would have been a skunk line.
It would not have been a skunk line, but it wouldn't have been a divine line.
I heard that. You know, mine is skunky today.
You know, it's opened me up to, you know, my passion of writing. I used to write all the time, but I never, you know, really put it out there, and I've been doing a lot of writing lately. I wrote a book. But another one of the passions that I developed was, you know, my connection with spirit. You know, I found out that I am truly a spiritual being 24/7. I'm always thinking spiritual. I'm always feeling spiritual. I'm always doing something spiritual. You know, one of the biggest things that you'll do being a spiritual being is you'll just embrace joy.
Mm-hmm.
You will laugh like nothing else. I mean, Chris and I sit up here. I mean, we've always laughed, and that's because, you know, we've always recognized something within us. But now we laugh on a level that is just unheard of. And then you throw our daughter into the mix, and we're just like three little
crazy people.
Yeah.
Laughing and probably like, what they laughing at? What's the beautiful fun? We find joy in everything.
Everything.
There are some guys that last thousands of years straight to laugh. And that's a sign of your spirituality when you can find joy.
Mm-hmm.
Because love and joy is one of the highest vibrations on this planet. And when you're vibrating high, everything you encompass is going to be filtered through your love and joy energy.
As well as creativity. I mean, when you think about the word creativity. It stems from the creator, and the creator is he's our father. He's our maker. He's our creator.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that we are of him, which means that we are also creators,
mm-hmm.
you know, so we have to create things that bring other people joy, that make other people feel good, that, you know, makes us feel good. It's an endless circle of, you know, just evolving.
Mm-hmm. Man, of course.
Well, you have anything else you want to add on spiritual journey?
I don't know about that. We always got inside the wall. We didn't have this vision to see what's going on.
Well, fam, we are going. So we're going to New York.
Yeah.
In a few days.
Before you go there, we have a lot of callers on the line.
We do have a lot of callers.
And if y'all want to talk to us, or say something, talk about your spiritual journey, you're fine. We ain't gonna bite you. It don't make no sense for the people on the line to get to talk.
We always get a lot of callers. They just don't like to call in. They just like to hear us talk.
Okay, it's all good. You know, yeah, like we ain't have those spiritual funks on. You ain't spiritual funk, you're one.
Uh-oh. We got somebody that's not
that's
funk.
What's up. Get on up. That's what's up. I like that.
Caller from the 937. I think I know who this is. 937-971. Peace, peace. You're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Peace, peace. It's Danielle.
Hey, Danielle. I thought that was you.
I'm calling her Goddess Danielle.
What's going on? You know what? I just wanted to say thank you because, you know, I've been blessed to be able to get to know you guys and spend time with you in person. And the gifts that you guys give, priceless. So I just want to say thank you. Thank you for being the light. And everyone, get her room spray. It is amazing.
Ooh.
Ooh. Which one did you get? Did you get the raspberry lemon?
Yes.
The pink
oh,
one?
Oh, my goodness. Okay. I'm in love. I had to sit there and hold it and smell it.
I'm glad you like that.
Yeah, and Solomon said thank you for supporting his earth milk. He said he appreciates that as well. So thank you guys. I can't tell you all thank you enough. So I just wanted to pop in and say hi and support, just to vouch on your products. And even on Chris, I can vouch for my brother on his resume writing skills. He's been so kind to write resumes for my students. And I kid you not, my students always come out getting the job.
Always.
So, and other friends that have used his skills. So, thank you all. Love you all.
Love you back.
We love you back.
You and your king. He's in love.
All right, you guys. Take care.
Well, that's a plus right there.
Yeah. All right. We got a couple more callers. Caller from the 513-462. Peace, peace. You on the air. What's your name?
What's going on? Peace, Divine Queen. Peace, Brother Chris's grand boy.
Oh,
hi,
man. This is time right here. Talented, bro. I heard your poetry. I look at you different,
bro. It
was hot.
Oh, no, man. Y'all got me hyped, man. You know, I done tuned in and just listening to y'all. It's just, I mean, every time I be around y'all, it just be confirmation and I be knowing I'm doing, you know, everything I'm supposed to be doing because just, like, just from listening to y'all, I've had similar experiences. Like, I've had. I came from Cincinnati. I mean, I'm from here, but I moved to Nashville for a couple of years, and it was like spiritual school. Like I went through so many different experiences, and it kind of just evolved my consciousness on a whole new level. So now to come back and be able to link up with y'all and just Jazz and everybody, like it's just dope. Like I just, you know, it's, like I said, it's just more confirmation. So listening to y'all is just like, you know, I'm over here on a high.
Winning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm proud of you too, man.
Definitely.
I'm proud of you. I know that you was like, man, we ain't getting it, but you are getting it. He's one of my students, man. He's doing so well with this snake fighting and trapping and the hand skills. I'm proud of you, man. It's like most people quit.
I appreciate
first few weeks.
They do.
Quit. Yeah. But now, see, the thing about it is, I realize, and I'm already seeing just how it's helping me and other. I mean, you know, the just getting the art of it and mastering the craft of it is one thing, but the way it just, like being able to feel that energy involved in it and being able to just, you know, just focus on the discipline of it, like it's so many different facets that was beneficial. So, you know, that's dope. And,
that's
like, on the writing side, you didn't inspire me. I messed around and I was looking at all my work, so I got like 20 poems. So I'm like, I don't know how many I need to do.
Hey, that's what's up.
It only takes 10 pages to be a book, bro.
I'm definitely.
Book.
Ah, okay. Well, shoot, there it is. I'm about to put two of them out there.
I'm going to give you a little magic that I put on my books in order to help people connect with me. Before I give them my poem, I give them a piece of my history first so you can write about your journey. So they can do it. So they
okay,
like,
cool.
Oh, they connect with you. They read your words, too. That's a book in itself right there.
Mm-hmm.
I can get all my books in the beginning. Yeah.
That's perfect. That's perfect.
Yeah, man, you know, I'm here to help you get published. My mom's got three books. I got three books. We got multiple books coming out. So get on the board, bro. We here for you. You and your family now. We
there it is.
Go, bro.
I appreciate it. And vice versa, I'm here for y'all, too. So I'm getting my stuff together. So I'm gonna have my superpower developed here soon to add to the mix. So let's be honest.
Hey.
I don't know exactly. You know, everybody got their superpowers. I'm getting mine together. So when it come out, just be like, okay, that's what he was talking about.
I'm loving your energy, bro.
That's what's up.
But peace, y'all. I'm just calling to holler at y'all. Like I said, I appreciate y'all, and I'm going to holler at y'all.
Appreciate you, guys, man. Appreciate you, little
bro.
All right.
Peace.
Peace and love.
That's what I'm saying. Instant family. I love that dude, man. You just don't even know.
That's something else about the, you know, when you come into spirituality, you'll meet the most beautiful people, and it's weird because you'll feel like this instant connection to people. You'll feel like, you know them or you've known them for a long time and, you know, you grow together and you bond and you help each other grow. And, you know, and another thing, when you get on this spiritual path, you start discovering your gifts. You start discovering what you're good at. You start making things. Everyone that we know that's on the spiritual team is doing something and they're doing it big, you know. This next person we're going to bring on the line,
She's doing it big.
So I'm going to go ahead and bring your mama on. Peace, Emma.
Hey, peace. What's going on, fam? Hey. I'm just calling in, you know, just listening how y'all started y'all journey. And y'all know y'all got me started a couple of years ago, and I ain't looked back.
I heard that. Looking good.
That's right. I'm getting ready to, working on my fourth book right now. It's going to be called The Reincarnation of Emma. I'm talking about my spirituality. I'm going to lose weight because I take a lot of medication. I had cancer a couple of years ago. I'm trying to get down. So I had to take no medication at all. And that's going to be my new book I'm working on right now.
We trying to get abs before we die.
That's right.
Right, Nikki. Yeah.
I was talking about that in the group earlier.
I said, me too. about my dream. I don't know if Nikki heard what happened. Did you hear what happened, Nikki?
Yeah, I made a comment on your post. I said that I agreed with Chris, but what I also think what was happening was that you were trying to do an astral projection. You were trying to astral travel.
Oh,
why don't you share
that
dream? Share your dream. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, I don't know. I was dreaming, and I seen a bright light, like, to my right, and when I looked over at the light, I'm still asleep now, and I thought something was drawing me to the light. I don't know if something pushed me out the way or I just fell or whatever, but I was trying to get away from the light, and next thing I knew, I'm falling out the bed on the floor, and my bed is real high. I got to jump up and get into the bed, and I'm like, oh, my God, I have never fallen out the bed like that. And I just woke up and I remembered, you know, what I was doing, trying to get away from that white light.
See, the
and that was
just
brain.
When you're sleeping, your body gets into this paralyzed state. So it's not natural for you to be moving around like that.
Mm-hmm.
But all the
right.
surrendering you're doing, all the mantras you're doing, day in and day out, out in the sun, saying the animal core, all these prayers and mantras you're doing, losing weight, did the God see your diligentness and they're rewarding you with that light?
Mm-hmm.
That bright light.
Right.
Let you know, like, I see you. A lot of people
right,
don't get that
that's
experience.
What it looked like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean,
I just needed that confirmation. I just needed that confirmation mm-hmm. from Chris. I was like, anybody know about dreams? Tell me about this dream, what it means.
Mm-hmm.
And why
just,
I fall out of bed.
this is just the beginning.
Yeah.
Well, that's all right. I want to call in, holler at y'all, talk about, babe. I'll talk to y'all later.
Peace and love. Yeah, you know, when you're on a spiritual journey, you will. One of the first experiences that most people have is the dream state. You'll start having these dreams. You'll start astral traveling. You'll have beings that come to you in your dreams. All this supernatural type of things will start having. Your ancestors will come to you and speaking to you. You may have start having precognitive, you know, visions and things of that nature. So, you know, a lot of the things that happens through our dream state. And that's because that's when we are in our spiritual selves. That's when we're more open to receiving spiritual information.
And you'll be coherent within your dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you'll be in your dreams having memories of you being human in your past lives. And you'll be thinking like, wow, this is my dream. This is a dream. And you'll wake up, remember your dream. All your senses will become stronger in your dreams. You'll be able to taste, smell, touch, feel, all within your dreams.
You'll become lucid.
You'll be definitely become lucid.
Mm-hmm.
One of my first lucid dreams was with my mama. And we were up at UC's campus in a parking lot, and I gave her this rose quartz. And I was like, this will help you fall in love with yourself again, Mama. And when she touched it, she was like, this is plastic. And I was like, what? I don't give my mama no plastic. No plastic crystal.
You're
like,
cheaping your dream.
Right. And I was like, this is a dream.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember, Namo Amitabha, Namo Amitabha. And I just started saying Namo Amitabha like 100 times.
Tell the family what that means.
Namo Amitabha is a code key that Buddhists say. It's kind of like saying namaste. But what happens when you say in your dream state and you have a medallion of a Buddha, you can go into the Buddhist land. I didn't have a medallion of a Buddha at the time. So when I did it, I rose up in the sky and it was like darkness. And I kept saying, Namo Amitabha, Namo Amitabha. And I seen this red, like, fire circle come out of the darkness.
Like a portal.
And I see this dude, this Chinese looking man, open up this portal, stick his head out and look at me. And I was like, Namo Amitabha. I started getting excited. And then he smiled at me. The portal came up and he left. And I woke up so excited. And I realized that day I went on Amazon and bought me a Buddhist medallion. To this day I sleep with it by my bed. You know what I mean, family?
Mm-hmm.
There's so much more to this reality than what we've been told.
Yeah.
I got so many good dreams. We should have a dream show so I can share some of the dreams and grandeur that I've had.
We've had a lot of dream shows, but, you know, I love dream shows.
Yeah.
We can always do dream shows.
We've talked about the many facets of dreams.
But we've never shared our dreams.
Because I was dreaming about murder, killing, and fighting all the time for years. But now I'm on a spiritual path. I'll be having these light dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Of me being beings and saving people. Other people are messaging me. People message me like once a week talking about I was in their dream saving them. I'm like, what? You pulled up your sword? I'm like, what? I'm like, I don't know if I'm just on these people's mind or what, but I'm a bad and a gentleman.
You're all right.
Yeah. I'm getting excited. Well,
so, yeah, we can do that. We can do a dream show.
When we get back from Carnegie.
So when we come back, that will be the 30th, will be the next Monday.
We don't have a show that day.
We're not?
Yeah, I got a consultation.
Oh, that's right. We're not going to be there. So our next show isn't going to be until
August.
And that show, we're actually going to have a guest.
Okay.
One moment here.
Okay. They can be on the lookout for
it. Yes. August the 6th, we are going to have a guest, Carmen Wilkinson, will be on the show. And she is going to be doing readings and talking about her products that she offers.
Okay, Carmen. Yeah.
Through her company called Angelic Nectar. She calls herself a medical avatar.
I like
that. I've had a reading from her, and she picked up on, you know, it was weird. I'll go into this more next week, or week after next. I had slept kind of crazy on my arm, and I woke up, and my shoulder was hurting a little bit in my back. And she wanted to do a reading for me, so I was like, yeah, sure, I'll take a reading. And she said, oh, okay, did you have some back pain in the past? And I had overcame a really bad back injury. And I said, yeah, but, you know, I held that. And so she said, no, this is something else that's going on. And she said, not that pain. I've seen that. That's gone. She said, you got another pain that's in your upper body. And I was like, yeah, it does kind of hurt right there. Mm-hmm. I slept kind of crazy on my shoulder. And so she was able to pick up on that. So she... Oh, girl, it's the truth.
That's what's up.
It's going to be interesting having her on. So you do not want to miss that. But, yeah, we will not be on next Monday, unfortunately. But you can check out our archives on blogtalkradio.com/Twin Flame Radio. We have about 80-something shows out there, I believe. Shows talking about everything from supernatural to entertainment to love to just us being goofy.
Mm-hmm.
So have fun.
Support.
Go through it.
Yeah. Check out my YouTube, youtube.com/C/The Enlightened Journey Winning. Or you can just go out to YouTube and type in The Enlightened Journey. That's THE Enlightened Journey. Check me out on Amazon, my books, The Enlightened Talk and Poverty Consciousness, bestselling author. Also, check out my website for all my services, theenlightenedjourney.com. Check me out every Monday on this show and just support the God.
And you can find my website, IamDivineQueen.com. I am currently updating it, so if you run into any problems, feel free to give me a message through Facebook Messenger, Divine Queen, or email IamDivineQueen@gmail.com. But on that website, you will find the services that I offer. I do a... myriad of different readings, from just intuitive readings to tarot and numerology. I have what's called a divine gateway session that identifies your blocks and how to remove those blockages from you and to help you grow in your spiritual journey. Also, I will help you identify different gods and goddesses that you can work with on your journey. With that, I also have a book that is on my website and on Amazon called I Am, written by Divine Queen. That is a collection of short stories, spiritual stories, so that's a great book. And my products, I Am Divine. I have a couple of scents out there, lotion, soaps, bath bombs, all that fun stuff that just smells amazing. And you can find me on Facebook, Divine Queen, or you can find me on Instagram as IamDivine_Queen.
Dang, babe, you got some work out there, man. I'm proud of you. We out here getting it in. I remember we used to be like, we got a radio show, catch your next money. We out here raising the vibration of this planet.
Yes. So, fam, we are going to be out, but we will be back again Monday, August 6th, 7 o'clock Eastern Time. We'll have our special guest, Carmen Wilkinson, on. And until then, fam, my name is Divine Queen.
And I'm Chris White.
And this is Twin Flame, and we are sending you out with peace, love, and magical blessings.
Well.